Skype of Cthulhu presents a Delta Green scenario. A Victim of the Art by Dennis Detweiler.
Well, Brent, since you're a pro, why don't you give us a quick summary of what Delta Green is for the listeners?
Okay. Well, I have to start with out of character. Basically, Delta Green is an illegal conspiracy in the United States government. It was first formed sort of after the wake of the Innsmouth incident in the 20s. But there was it was created to actually police supernatural and alien threats. However, sometime in the 70s, there was a cluster frag of a mission in Southeast Asia, and the group was disbanded. Mm-hmm. However, it persists now as an illegal conspiracy, and it's cell-based. So, you know, like we may all be a cell. We may know each other, and each cell is given a letter designation. So we could be like cell N, and I'd be Agent Nathan, and you'd be Agent Ned.
In this game, you're cell M.
Cell M. So that's how it works now, and that's how the conspiracy survives. Now, when you're inducted in Delta Green, this is the interesting part. The agents that induct you put on this big show. They have agents from like the DEA, the FBI, the ATF, and they make it seem like you're coming into this top secret task force. It's not until you're deep in, about three missions later, you really realize that this doesn't actually exist.
Right.
And if you ever get caught, you're going to Leavenworth. Or worse, you know?
Yes. There's a lot of surprises in Delta Green, even for agents in it. All right. Awesome. I'm giving you a clue chip for that. Speaking of which, clue chips are what I give for a variety of things, good or bad role-playing, especially if you're doing a bad accent. At least you're trying. Pushing the investigation along, historical tidbits, even humor. You know, if you're cool like Randall, you'll probably just get a lot for being cool. You also get, the chips are used for like non-combat, non-sand checks, and they're basically a way for me to avoid a group that just doesn't make any rolls and totally misses an important point in an investigation. So it basically lets you re-roll unless you bad break. And in my game, a bad break's a 99 or 100, not the 7th edition or House Rules of 6 where it's like 96 or higher. I am using... When you roll, I will sometimes ask you, you know, let me know if you make it by half or get an impale or get a not one per some of the 7th edition stuff. Those are some of the other basic things. I think I listed some other things that we'll worry about when we get to it. But I use a lot of knowledge stuff in my games. So the clue chips are just a way for you to say, yeah, I'd like to re-roll that. So that's basically what it's tied into, if that makes sense.
Quick question. You mentioned we could take 5% Cthulhu Mythos. Is that right?
You take 5% plus a D6 and then double that, and that's how much sand you lose if you want.
Okay, say that one more time. Roll a D6.
Five plus a D6.
Okay, so I rolled a 5, so we got 10.
Okay. So you have 10 Cthulhu Mythos, and your starting sand goes down 20 points.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which represents you having dealt with something pretty traumatic, to say the least. And there's probably a backstory there and whatnot.
My sand dropped 20 points. Is that right?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Looking my looking at my backstory on this character you sent me, that actually kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Murph's character has some nice information in it, so it's kind of a good start for that.
Tom's
so.
A little fragile here.
Yeah.
Let's not upset Tom.
Yeah, but you know the interesting thing about Delta Green agents is a lot of them come into the game fragile mentally, so you're in good hands, so to speak.
I'm going to develop a drinking problem. I can tell you right now.
Oh, exactly. For people at the wall, if you want, you can put a picture or a post-it note of your character's name, and I'm just putting clue chips where I think you guys might be. So I'm presuming Brent's on the far right. So I give everyone a clue chip. Starting, I give everyone another clue chip for making a character. So all of you are at 2 clue chips right now, as an FYI, if you're not at the wall, which I just posted in the Skype message section there.
Thank you. I need to go to that. Hang on a second.
Yeah. So,
is that in the chat that you put the link at?
Yep. You will probably have to go in as a guest to get in there, or you to get in and whatnot if you haven't done any of the pre-prep.
Oh, I already registered. I did?
Jim and Randall.
Yeah, I'm just having
already on there.
Having a little trouble seeing the link here in Skype, so I'm going to go through your message, email you sent the other day. So.
Let me just post it again. And then we'll see how that works. Anything pop up now? I can also just email it to you.
Yes, there it is. Hang on a second. Hopefully this won't pull up like Internet Explorer or something.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, yeah, you guys can just play around with a wall. I think I said something out about, you know, if you have something highlighted, don't click the red button. Don't click delete or backspace. Typically don't click backspace because you may delete something. Mm. There's ways to take notes. And the nice thing about the wall is that it stays. So when we leave and come back 2 weeks later, all the pictures I put up and everything will still be here. Any notes you put up here will still be here. All that stuff, which I personally like, because everyone kind of look and go, oh yeah, I remember this character or this person or this situation or whatever. So anyway, why don't we have everyone introduce their characters to each other? And of course, your M name that you go by. If you don't have one, you can think it up as we play along. If you have any questions about how to use the Inferno Wall, I have some competence with it I can help out too. Jim, you're up, since no one volunteered.
I always get to go first.
Because you're popular. You are the Skype of Cthulhu founder.
He is Skype of Cthulhu.
Yeah.
No, that's Randall.
oh, okay.
I am playing Agent Jesse Walters of the United States Postal Inspector Service.
Cool.
Code name, cell name.
You can come back to it if you want. You don't have to pick right now.
Jimmy.
Has to start with an M, remember?
Oh, has to start with an M.
Mimi?
Mikey.
Okay.
Mikey likes it.
It is. Okay. Since you guys have worked together, you can mention what skills you're good at because other agents might know and they might say, hey, so-and-so is the best at this. We should go to him.
I am very good at speaking English.
Okay.
I am very good in accounting. Bargain's pretty good. Fast talk, psychology, things like that. Pretty decent knowledge of law, too.
You'll be happy to know that accounting and law have come into play in this game on more than one occasion, much to the shock of some people. Okay, cool. Thanks. How about Randall, since Brent's typing right now on the wall?
All right. So my name is so it's going to be Marco. Marco Chovasky. 32, single. Computer savvy. He's an antiques collector. Actually, his run with the mythos is when he acquired a small statue of the bloated woman, you know, an avatar of Nyarlathotep. And crazy cultists tried to steal it from him.
Okay.
So he had a few encounters with these cultists, thinking that he was crazy at the very beginning, but then he realized that the mythos were actually a threat. So, mm-hmm. And that's where his 11 points of Cthulhu mythos come from.
Woo! Wow. 22 sand loss. Awesome.
Indeed.
All right.
And down to 33, so it's going to be bad for my character.
Jim, did you have any Cthulhu Mythos of sorts, or did you decide to go in pretty green?
I had not decided. I will go ahead and do so.
Okay.
As to the source of it, well, they call it postal for a reason. If you've seen some of the if you'd seen some of the things that people try to send through the mail, that the brave agents of the United States Postal Service is defending us from. You'd be a little crazy, too.
If you want, you can tell me, you know, why don't you just run with it? That's what someone's doing in another one of the Some Running, where he just wanted me to have it played out during the game and traumatic flashbacks. Every now and then he'll see a cat in a jar of mustard, a little kitten in a jar of mustard, and it'll set him off because of something that happened in South America. That's certainly an option if people want to throw that out, though. Yeah, it may incur some minimal SAM loss, but or you can just think of what you want. So, all right. Brent.
Agent Thomas Keene, DSS. I need to just step here, Ham. Yeah, I'm Diplomatic Security Service. Man, you guys wouldn't believe what I've seen. I was in Israel taking care of Bob Dole. Bob Dole, former senator. And this guy, I tried to kill him, and he came up, and it looked like a wax man. His face was wax. His hands were wax. I'll be honest, I just beat the crap out of him. I just beat him to death, and next thing I know, I'm fighting this giant white lobster. It's lobster, man. I'm not kidding. It sounds terrible, but I beat it to death with my pistol butt. And yeah, that's how they found me. And hang on, I need another drink here, Han. that's how I got the call. So yeah, it's good to meet you, fellas. Molotov, call me Molotov. That's my name. Yeah.
Do you want to be out of character? Do you want to be new to this cell, or do you want to have worked with them before? Because it sounds like you're new to the cell, the way you introduced yourself.
What works best for you, dude?
I say, you know, whichever you feel most comfortable playing. So if you want to act like you just met them, which it sounds like you're kind of going that direction, you can do that. Because it's certainly fine, because Delta Green cells get broken all the time.
Well, I'm sure I know Jim and Randall, their previous cell member, probably died somehow.
Yeah, they left him.
Not that I'm saying anything.
There's a pattern, but we don't like to talk about it. Okay, cool. So to reiterate, it is August 10th, 1995. This is before most of the informational internet. The internet's still in its infancy stage, so at a game there will be computer use roles, but library use roles will also make sense if you guys are looking certain things up.
Usenet, baby.
I'm updating. Yep. I'm updating.
AOL.
I'm updating my GeoCities page about my adventures.
Exactly. So yeah, just something to keep in mind. I was looking stuff up, like Wikipedia didn't come around until 2000, and you know, I always look Wiki up for things, and it's like, oh my God, there's no Wiki before that. So,
but no, AltaVista, dude, AltaVista, yeah.
pre Google.
Yeah, I've got a GeoCity site, Trail of the White Lobsters.
Awesome,
Brent. What's the name of your agent in game?
Thomas Keene, but you can call me Molotov.
And what's yours, Randall?
Marco.
Yeah, we don't have a photo yet of you up on the wall yet. So
come on, Randall, get with the program.
What's his real name?
I changed your background to black.
Daniel. Daniel.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, Daniel.
Chovasky.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you for changing the background. That.
Yeah, all you do is highlight on it, and there's a BG thing in the middle, and it just defaults.
Yeah, it's not working for me for some reason.
Well, you got a light background so we can read it. Or actually, no, you changed. I see what you did. We can read it, so it's
fine
as it is. So, but cool. So you guys are all in different parts of the world, wherever you guys are when you're not on missions. When you were called, probably a few days before to set up for a phone conference. And you're told that you'll be working with two other agents of M-Cell. And it would appear that Randall and Jim's characters have worked together before. And the new one coming in, Molotov, is a new addition, but he's been trained, quote-unquote. And you guys, the 10th comes. It's early in the morning, pre-dawn, and you guys are all on your phones. And your handler, Marcus, whose picture is in the bottom right of the wall, who basically looks like the cigarette man from X-Files, comes on. And he says, welcome.
Sorry.
Is your cough all right there, Molotov? Yeah. That was India. Not the GM.
Take a medicinal swig from the flask here.
Okay. He says, I have some new a new mission for all of you that deals with the supernatural. You seemed like just the type of people to handle this. It is over in the Long Island area, though this won't be much of a vacation as there have been a couple of unusual murders. Can everyone hear me clearly? He says.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I have got my full attention, Marcus.
We hear you.
Right here.
Unusual murders are not particularly outstanding news in Long Island, so I'm waiting to hear what this has to do with us.
A fundamentally good idea, Mikey. He takes along a swig and smoke and blows it out. And you can hear his high-tech fax machine going off in the background, you know, line by line. You know, it's 1995. And he says, there seems to be something coming in, but I'll look at that in a moment. I want you to know that I believe in all of you, and I think you've done a good job in things. And I think this is going to be an easier investigation than the previous one you had down in South America, Mikey.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's what you said the last time. If you don't mind me saying.
Here I'm going to take a pause, like he's probably biting his tongue before he says anything to Randall's character. And he says, yes. The victims that have been found are two. One is a dentist and one is a cheerleader at a local high school. The dentist's body, or what remained of it, was found in the park, apparently by a jogger. The body, the spine had been removed entirely from the body, and the head was found a good 100 feet away or whatnot. That happened.
I look up from scribbling note. I look up scribbling notes and look at him and go, somebody's been watching Predator too many times. I can tell already.
Marcus doesn't say anything of that. He pauses, lets you have your little moment, and then he says, that was 5 days ago on August 5th. 2 days ago, a cheerleader apparently was taken from her house, and her body, or what remained of it, was found hanging from a water tower off the interstate freeway outside of the area, a good 2 miles from the location. In both cases, the heads had been removed. The head of the first victim, a dentist by the name of he flips through his papers and says, well, I'll get that name to you in a minute. And you know Marcus doesn't care much for names. Or, you know, personal things. He's more about details. So it's just like him to, like, not write the name down and give a shit, right? He says, getting back to this cheerleader of sorts, her head was never found, but her spine was also taken out in the way I described. And as he's detailing this, all three of you can make medicine rolls. Easy. And you can also,
what do you make it?
Which is double your medicine. You can also make natural world easy.
I'm confused about this how to roll dice thing you've put here on the game board. What does that mean?
Oh, you want to use the dice roll? I'll show you how.
No, I'm using my old school dice. Do I just do a percentile roll like normal?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Orange is tens.
I'm watching you. Yeah, I presume you guys were all doing hard dice.
I fail both of those.
No, I fail miserably.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
what is the base channel?
I believe medicine is, 5% and natural world's 10%? Yeah. I'm pulling up the Delta Green character sheet I sent you guys to look at some other things. Does anybody have ufology per the Delta Green sheet I sent?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nope.
All right.
Ooh, we got 20%. Hold on. Let me roll my 1%.
if you want, go for it.
No. Nope.
Yeah, so as you... For starters, when you're hearing this, you know, you're a little chilled when you hear this because you haven't heard of anything natural that would be able to do something like that offhand. It's what you're considering as you're hearing this. Removing the entire spine from the back of a human being is incredibly hard without machinery. So, but Marcus is just kind of going through this casually, like he's reading, you know, the weather reports. There's no inflection in his voice. He's just like very, you know, calm. And you know, he used to be a Delta Green agent back in the day, and survived everything. And he flips through some papers and he says, "Oh, the name of the first victim is a dentist by the name of Dr. Carl Moretti."
Hmm. Well, maybe we should be looking for a disgruntled patient of his.
Perhaps. The second victim, the cheerleader, is, he flips through some more papers, Lauren Harrogate. And then you hear the fax machine going, and he says, "Hold on a minute, agents." And he moves off. And you guys are just kind of waiting on a speaker. You guys want to say anything to each other or just wait till he returns?
I know what did it. Think about it. The only thing that could rip a man's spine out like that, it's the Lobster Men. I pull up on my laptop my GeoCities page, and it's got blurry images that sort of look like Lobster Men. And then there's some hand drawings that look like an 8-year-old did it. It's like, look, see those claws, see those, and the wings. I can tell you that's what did this. I know already. We just need to prove it.
Hey, look at Mikey. A little bit worried about our new companion.
You could look at him, but remember, you guys are on speakerphone.
Well, that's keen eye for detail you have there, Molotov. I'm impressed. You've managed to solve this already.
Are you mocking me? I can sense mockery in your tone. Look, I have had this page up for a year now, and this is information from all over the world.
I can assure you, I am a U.S. Postal Inspector. I have no sense of humor. I am not mocking you in any way, shape, or form. I simply look forward to watching you solve, what's his name? As Marco said, I'm coming up with the proof for your theory. On site.
Out of character, Randall, what agency does your character work for? I forgot.
FBI.
FBI, okay. All right. So we have a real detective in the room.
Well, I'm a computer guy, so...
We're doomed.
Working for the FBI agency. That's what I do.
So, Mikey and Marco... And just for the audience, Mikey is Jim, Marco is Randall, and Molotov is Brent. Mikey and Marco do not need to make psychology rolls to realize that Molotov may be a loose cannon and may be in need of some watching, but you guys have dealt with these types of people before, so it's not a huge shock.
Right.
I'm going to give each of you another clue chip. So each of you have three now for... role-playing and everything, and doing a good job with it. Marcus comes back, puffing on his cigarette, and he says, there's been a third murder, and he pauses because he likes to do these things for dramatic effect.
Like just now?
Yeah. It's like rumor has it that Marcus wanted to go into theater but couldn't hack it. So he did this instead. That's what you've heard. That's the rumors that go around. No one's ever approached him about it because... It's a touchy subject, and he'd probably punish you for it in some way. When you need those vital supplies on a mission, he won't give it to you. You've heard he's done that type of shit before when people piss him off.
So this third murder has occurred, while we're sitting here on this conference call?
The report just came in on my fax machine. Apparently it happened this morning, and I'm just getting reports of it now from one of my resources. And he pauses again, like... He's the coolest guy in the world, smoking on a cigarette. And then he says, Vanessa Hotvin, a librarian at the local high school. Her body was found up in the trees of the courtyard in front. There was a strange grayish polymer substance under her fingernails. And her spine had also been taken from her body as described. And her head was not found. Now then, the three of you will be going in as FBI agents. Of course, Marco will have much experience with this, but you should all know that you will have FBI jurisdiction here. As long as you don't push it too hard, your cover will be good. But if you push things too hard and people start getting upset and start complaining or looking into you, your cover might be blown. So I'd be careful in that area. But otherwise, you will have jurisdiction of this murder investigation. The local sheriff was involved at first in this. And then, of course, when they thought it was a serial killer, and many of them still think it's a serial killer, the state troopers came in. But once we pulled some strings to have the FBI step in, the state troopers have pulled away, but the local sheriff, an Al Mosley, has made himself available in this small town of Montauk.
What is his name again?
Albert Al Mosley. Al seems to be the nickname he likes to go by. So I'd call him Al.
Do we have any friendly contacts in Montauk that, you know, Delta Green friendlies, or are we going to be the only Delta Green reps in the area?
Here in Posgan, smoking a cigarette, he says, you will have access to a number of people, but they will not know of Delta Green. At the Natural History Museum in New York City, out of character, keep in mind, like, Montauk is probably like an hour and a half to 2.5 hours away from New York City, depending on traffic and whatnot. Mm-hmm. He says, Professor Javier Wu, though he does not know as that you are what type of agents you are, he was just notified that you may be contacting him to seek out information and such. There is also a – he takes a long pause – and then he says, no, he's dead. Sorry. Takes another smoke. Well, you've had far worse. That last one in South America, Mikey, you didn't know anyone there. And it was much more dangerous than this will ever be.
Do we have access to a green box, Marcus?
What would you need with a green box, Molotov? Remember what happened in Chicago? We're still covering that up.
Look, I wasn't responsible for what the previous team left in the green box, and even though the label said, do not open, you and I both know I needed to open it.
It has been recommended by someone from Q-Cell that you shouldn't have access to any more green boxes, Molotov, but who knows? Someday you just might get a chance to play around with another one.
Aye, aye, Mikey, once again.
On a AOL chat, the cutting edge.
Oh, we're not on the same room. I didn't get that. So we are on the phone.
Sending emoticons.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are on conference calls, and it's 1995. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cell phones exist. Hang on, they're larger than.
Hang on, let me dial back in.
Yeah,
that's dial up.
No, but we have a back channel chat going, so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, you may have another conference line between the two going. I don't know.
Yeah, IRC is yep. I'm sending his messages through IRC.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
IRC could is totally there and working. Ironically, that's where Murph hangs out for the MU podcast, who you're playing, Brent. I mean, you're playing his character. Add a character real quick for people who don't know, for the audience. A green box is basically where all the weird doodads from the mythos are collected and put and hidden, kind of in a storage unit, typically. But anyway.
I'm hoping there might be an untraceable M16A2 in there, you know.
Never know. You hear him take another long swig on his cigarette, and he says, the three of you will make your way to the GSK airport or however means you wish to get there. And then I would recommend the Swagger Cafe, where the three of you can meet and figure out how you should take care of things. Rental vehicles are certainly available if needed. Are there any questions of merit? He says, stressing the merit. I see what you're posting below. We're screwed. Why does Marcus always send us crazy ones? Molotov is not aware of this private conversation going on, of course.
Of course not.
Okay, Marcus seems pleased. None of you have any questions. He says, well then, you will find your tickets, if needed, for your flight to the JFK airport. You will be arriving early on the 11th, so I would make preparation for things and whatnot. Your standard gunware and whatnot will be waiting in footlockers at the airport or nearby train depots if needed. And at a game, that's like, you know, your pistol or pistols, probably like a shotgun or an SMG or a rifle if you want it, assuming you have any skills with it.
I'm taking my rifle.
Yeah. They basically just plant it there so you don't have to screw around with, you know, getting it on the plane and all this other stuff. And also, when you show up as FBI, you have the right to carry arms. You typically just carry your pistols, but, you know, it's not a surprise if you pull out bigger guns. I mean, people expect that with the FBI, so they're not going to freak out. But when you're just walking around and talking to people, you probably don't have more than your pistol, because that is pretty scary to most regular people enough. That'd be like me showing up at a gaming convention and running it, and I throw a big pistol down on the ground and go, ah, don't worry, I got a permit for it, guys. It's good. No. Hey, why are you leaving? You know, that type of thing. So, but anyway, Marcus seems pleased you have no questions. He says, well, then, I wish you all good hunting. And, of course, you have the number if you need to contact me. Please use it discreetly.
So I assume he sent us all the information through email or fax it.
He probably faxed it, because his fax machine to him is high tech, and he just got it. So yeah, he's faxing you hard copy paper of things.
Nice. Okay, just to make sure that we got the names and the name of the whatever, you know, information we got on the bodies and all that.
It's not a bad idea to take some notes in this game, because it will get convoluted with a lot of details. But every session we'll go over it at the beginning and whatnot as an FYI. So.
It's fine. I just missed the last names of Loring and Vanessa. Vanessa is Hatley.
Hotvin. Just think Hottie.
Okay.
Well, let's catch a flight.
Okay. Is there anything you guys wish to do or collect between, you know, the time now and your flight tomorrow? Keep in mind, like, you know, it goes out saying you're all going to have, like, earpieces to communicate with each other. The range will be about a mile. Will be roughly about a mile or two. Mm-hmm. If you guys are not in visual range, you know, you'll probably you'll have three rental cars if you want it or less. You'll have FBI, you know, jackets and whatnot to make you look official. You'll have documentation if people question whether you're FBI. You know, various details like that. So I'm not
body
really
armor. Body armor and top off my flask.
So, which body armor are we talking about?
Oh, just a vest, you know, standard.
Yeah,
standard.
Yeah, same here.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they'll have vests.
Bulletproof. Bulletproof.
I thought you wanted, like, the concealed armor, walk around with it. Hey, what is that? But, yeah.
No.
Yeah, they've got the big vests, sure. Yeah. Those will all be waiting for you. In fact, if you guys are, you know, want, they can just be waiting in the trunks of your cars. Because they have a friendly handling your rentals when you arrive.
I'm going to get me a couple disposable cameras, too.
Sure. So. All right. Do you have a photography as a skill, by the way? I think you do. Beyond the default, I mean.
10%.
Oh, you have the default. Never mind. So as long as it's not like a high-stress thing, you know, you'll probably be able to take shots, no problem. Just as an FYI. And for crucial stuff, you do have your clue chips to try and re-roll it if it's really important, I suppose. But anyway, you guys arrive at JFK early on August 11th.
Hang on.
Yeah?
We have time to do stuff like the evening of the 10th, right?
Oh, if you want, sure.
Okay. Well, I'll just be taking the train down from Buffalo, so I'm not leaving until the morning of the 11th.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Jump on the train.
There's always someone who's close to New York City when I run this. they just train in or drive it.
So I will spend the evening searching various news groups on Usenet for anyone talking about these murders.
For the younger viewers, could you tell them what Usenet is?
alt.rec.serialkillers.newyork.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on alt.40and.lobstermen.
That sounds like a computer use role, though if you miss it, I'll let you make a library use role too, because they sort of overlap.
All right. Let me see. What is my computer?
No, nah, I miss both those.
Would you miss computers? Do you want to use a clue chip, or are you good with missing it?
No, I don't care that much.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't either. It's really not that big of a deal. It's just flavor.
Sure. So yeah, you guys are just looking around, and you know, basically the general consensus from the papers and everything is that it's a weird serial killer who's going around just doing super gross stuff, trying to like tear bodies apart and make it look like something supernatural.
I mean, it's not like Long Island hasn't seen dozens of these already. I mean, I don't think that's a big deal.
Yeah, happens all the time, especially in Montauk. Yeah, I mean, you know, Montauk is like this small community. It's like less than 10,000 people. It's very affluent, incredibly affluent. But yeah, it's been a pretty quiet place as of late until recently. So anyway, yeah, without further ado, you guys arrive on the 11th early in the morning, meeting up at some cafe or restaurant, and the three of you show up. And we still don't have a picture. Yeah, I see a picture for Jesse and Molotov, but I guess Randall's still working on his picture, so he can tell us what he looks like, or he can just, you know, deal with it when he has a picture or whatever.
Yeah, we'll do that later today, for sure.
Or if you want and you have a picture, you can email it to me and I'll put it up on the Inferno wall if you're still trying to get onto that if you want to.
All right.
Because this stuff will all stay. So when we come back in 2 weeks, it'll still be here. So,
all right. So when we get to the Swagger Cafe, first thing I'm going to do is grab a local newspaper and bring it to the table with us.
Okay.
Ah, Marco, good to see you again.
Mikey?
How have you been, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Still single, if that is worth mentioning, in case you have someone, you know, to introduce me to, but, you know.
No, I'm, well, there is a new postal carrier that has come into my office recently, but,
All right. So I come up.
I believe this fellow over here is Molotov. He looks.
I stand up and shake your hands, and as I'm doing it, I clasp your hand with both of mine, and you get the distinct feeling I'm kind of feeling your hands to make sure they're actually your hand. Not so much a shaking your hand as slightly tugging on it.
Agent Molotov, good to know you.
Good to know you. Good to know you're one of us. Yes. Yes. Same here. Good to meet you, Mikey. Agent Mikey. Yes, yes. Yeah. You're one of us too. Yes. Okay. Now the pie's delicious. Sit down. Come join me. I'm having coconut cream. And I've got the paper here, the Montauk Tattler. You should check it out.
All right. I guess I can have some pie. I will order some coffee as well.
Shall okay. Me? It's a, you know, standard food, standard coffee.
Yeah.
Non-standard company, of course.
I look around just to make sure that, you know, no one is close enough to hear what we are discussing.
Yeah, you guys have situated yourself in a good corner away from most people, and the closest booth seems to have no interest in you. It's some parents taking care of a bunch of squabbling kids who are really loud and playing with their food and getting yelled at by the parents.
All right. So I will.
Mm-hmm. So, Agent Marco, since you're actually FBI, how would you suggest we proceed with this investigation?
Well, I was going to suggest, well, I'm not a field agent, right? I work in the office. Mostly
my eyebrow shoots up alarmingly.
I mean, he's an analyst.
But what I can tell you is that we should go to the morgue to find out what we can about this Vanessa now that she's fresh.
Far be it from me to disagree with you, Marco, but I believe we should go introduce ourselves to Sheriff Mosley first.
Oh, that's Keeper, right.
Keeper, is there anything interesting in the morning paper?
Yes. I just pulled up 1995 August from the wiki. On August 11th, the Russell Hill subway accident resulted in 3 deaths and 30 injuries in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And they're still talking about the Operation Storm ending in a UN-brokered ceasefire from August 7th. There's a little about the murder, Long Island murders, but it's pretty much stuff you've already heard. There's somebody they've interviewed named Bob Turner, who's some farmer out in the area, who claims it's aliens and has like a little interview with them, and how Bob Turner, a U.S. Army veteran, has been studying UFOs and aliens coming down and taking people away and whatnot for over 20 years. And Bob Turner's of the opinion that aliens are behind this because they need to dissect our bodies to figure things out before they take over the world.
I pull a pen out of my jacket pocket and circle his name in that sentence. And I start tapping it going, I think this is a good place to start right here.
He shows that to you.
Doesn't that somewhat run counter to your theory, though, Molotov? Agent Molotov?
Not
or,
at all.
Or are you changing your...
Where do you think the lobstermen come from?
Oh, of course. Of course. I see.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize.
I pull out a business card with my GeoCities website on it, slide it to you, and go, in case you haven't seen it.
No, I'm not so familiar with lobstermen from outer space.
That's all that is. That's all it is. Search for the truth on the website address.
I will interrupt the conversation and say again. So, Mikey, you were saying about visiting the sheriff. That sounds like a good idea. So, I'll say we go visit the sheriff, go to the morgue, see what we can find out about this Vanessa, the most recent case, and then maybe go and visit the families and see if we can go, see what we can find out about the most recent habits of our other two victims, see if there are any thing in common between the three of them.
I was thinking the same thing. Where do these three people overlap? And also, we need to make a visit to this Bob Turner, too. So we need to fit that in our agenda.
Keep in mind that if there's a disagreement, you guys can split up and follow different paths if needed.
Thank you.
Oh, keeper of arcane lore. We've been gamers a long time. When has splitting the party ever been a good idea?
It's always a good idea. You cover more ground that way.
No, you could do more damage that way.
If you guys want to stay together, that's perfectly fine. But if you decide you want to split up and talk to people, you can do that too. I'm just pointing that out since you guys have different ideas.
I think introducing ourselves to the sheriff is probably a good idea. Just courtesy, if nothing else.
Sure.
Well, at least one of us should. The other two can go to the morgue.
Well, let's all go meet the sheriff. He should know that we're officially on the case. You know, put his mind at ease.
Yeah.
His town.
So he knows our faces in case that someone asking something about some FBI agents going around.
Sure.
All right, so I guess we finish up our pie and coffee and start with our plan.
Okay.
That's some damn fine pie.
It is. To Molotov, it's some damn fine pie. To the rest of you, it's just average.
Yeah. I won't leave a huge tip. Just a basic one.
Okay.
13%.
Some diner waitress is going to feel a little miffed, but fortunately she's not carrying a gun. So, all right. So you guys leave. You head out. You pick up your rental cars, which have your particular resources and equipment in your trunks and whatnot. You have your FBI stuff to identify you as FBI. And you guys drive over to Montauk. If you look on the Inferno wall, you'll see that there's a map of the Long Island area. Montauk is on the very far right of the map there.
It's like about to fall off the map there.
Exactly. It's on the coast. If for some reason you get timed out or anything, you can just reload the page. Once in a while, that will happen. But you get into Montauk, which is very much... has a tourist thing going on here in mid-August, right? Did you say all three of you are going to the sheriff's?
I believe so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to be in separate cars, or do you want to have one car, two cars?
So let's all show up in three separate cars.
Yeah, we should have three. No, we should have three cars in case we need to.
We'll do it official envoy of Crown Vics into the parking lot.
If you want, you could have three cars, drop two cars off, and then get into one car and go to the sheriff's office if you're concerned about showing up in three cars.
We should all step out at the same time and put on sunshades.
Yeah. You could.
Don't worry, sir. The FBI's on the case. Yeah!
All right, so you guys arrive at sheriff's office. Seems, the parking lot's pretty empty. This is in the downtown area of Montauk. You saw a lot of tourists coming in. You know, a lot of people like to go boating and scuba diving and whatnot. Until recently, seems like a pretty sleepy town. As far as you can tell, there's just one sheriff as the law in the entire community. And you guys get out of your three cars and look at each other and get together. And I guess you're all wearing shades. Mm-hmm. And you make your way to the front door and open it.
Indeed.
And you see an attractive young lady at the front desk whose picture I'll pull out in a minute. She has a name tag that says Alice on it. And she looks up and says, oh, hello.
Hi, good morning, miss. We're looking for Sheriff Mosley.
Oh, may I ask who's here?
We're from the FBI, ma'am.
Okay. She pales a little at that. Like, kind of impressed, but you know, shocked. She says, oh, right, you're the agents who were coming. You're finally here, she says really happily. She goes, the sheriff isn't here right now, but I can radio him. And if you want, we've got donuts and coffee and some sandwiches are coming over in the back area there. And I guess if you want to look through some of the files, you can do that too.
That'd be wonderful.
Since you're FBI.
How long will it take for the sheriff to get here?
Well, I think he's maybe like 15 minutes, hopefully.
Okay, that seems reasonable, I suppose.
She seems like relieved that you feel that's reasonable, and I'm not being facetious.
Can you tell us where the local morgue is, please?
Oh, yes, that would be over more closer to Southampton. She writes down in this really like nice girly handwriting, gives it to you on a slip of paper. Here you go. And I pulled a picture of her up here.
Very kind of you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anything else you need? She looks to the three of you.
Can we get a sense of how far away is the morgue from the sheriff's office?
We passed it driving it.
You know, if you're just driving regular, you figure like maybe 15, 20 minutes. If you're speeding, less.
I'm going to go take a look at the files.
Okay. So you work your way down. Alice gets up and kind of rushes ahead of you and goes, oh, well, it's kind of a mess back there, but would you like some coffee? And we got donuts. I mean, I can order some more donuts. They're a little kind of old. They came here this morning, and it's been blah, and she keeps blabbering.
Do I get the impression she's trying to stall me or something?
No, you get the impression that she's very nervous and not used to FBI people showing up and probably,
ma'am,
you know, not
ma'am,
used
we're
to dealing
from,
with
we're
that.
From the FBI. We're here to help. I'd like to look at the files while we wait for the sheriff to come.
Okay. Why don't you, she, you know, you're in the back. You can see that, as she said, there's the donuts, the coffee with the paper cups, coffee brewing, there's a long table set out with some couches surrounding the back area, and there's some various file boxes over the place. And she goes, I think it's these two. And she pulls them up, puts them on the table, and flips them open. And sure enough, they deal with not the Laura Hotvin, but it's got like the cheerleader, who's Lauren Harrogate, mm-hmm. and it's got the dentist, Dr. Carl Moretti. And she goes, oh, wait, I think the third one, that just happened this morning. I think that's in the sheriff's office. I'll go get that.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
We'll split the three files between us.
Yeah.
And
she practically sprints. She's going off to get the stuff for you. And she
I'll
comes
take
back
the dentist's
hurriedly.
File.
Yeah, she comes up hurriedly with the librarian, Vanessa Hotvin's box, and puts it down.
I will take that from her.
Here you go.
Thank you, Miss.
You're welcome. Did you guys?
All right. I'll look over the dentist's file.
How's the coffee and the donuts? Are they okay?
This will be just fine. Yes, please. Please just let us know when the sheriff arrives.
Okay. Well, I'll just be down the hall if you need me. It's just like 30 feet. And she kind of goes off reluctantly and goes down the hall and gets out of your faces. So, anyway, the three of you can make easy library use rules. So double your library use to represent how fast you go in 15 minutes.
Okay.
I just missed it. 53 out of 50.
You do have clue chips if you want to use one, or you can take the lock.
Sure. How do I do that? Just pull it off the.
Yeah, just pull it off and put it back in the pile there.
Okay. And just does that let me re-roll?
Yep.
I got 100.
I got 100 too, actually.
Are you kidding?
A bad break, which is only 99 or 100.
Did they just burn their files or something? They spilled coffee on the files, didn't they?
Gosh, this cup is leaking.
Yeah, I grab some paper towels and hurriedly try to salvage what we can. I hiss at the two of you. We're supposed to be representing the FBI. Keep it together, men.
Yeah, the two of you, maybe you bumped each other's coffee cups and tipped it over on some of the files since it's a bad break at the max on 100, but you clean it up as much as you can.
Yeah, I will grab some napkins that are lying around and start cleaning up the mess.
That might explain why you weren't able to go through most of the files. However,
I rolled a 32 on my second roll, Shane.
Out of 50?
Yeah.
Okay, so you made it. Which file were you looking at again?
The dentist.
Okay, so you're going over the dentist file here. Dr. Carl Moretti. Looks like he's married. It gives his home address. It gives his business address. It mentions that his receptionist combination dental hygienist, Stephanie Miller, is the one who first reported him missing because his car was in the parking lot of the business lot. It mentions that the last patient he had the night before he disappeared was a Mark Hamilton. Apparently, Dr. Moretti was working late. It even has details that Mark Hamilton was some salesperson who had a kind of a broken tooth last minute emergency and he wanted it to get handled.
Has Mark Hamilton been interviewed yet?
No. It just says briefly. It looks like a state trooper was talking with him very briefly. There's some details about it. And then you're going through more of the paperwork, and you notice that Dr. Carl Moretti was found by a jogger in the morning. So like 5 days ago on – that would be August 5th. There was someone jogging like really early, like about 5 in the morning, and he came across what remained of Dr. Carl Moretti's body. And he was like jogging around the Peconic Bay and, just looking at, you can look at the Inferno map, but your character would know that, somebody going over there on foot, it would take a while to get over there from Montauk, even if you're going along the edges and whatnot. Maybe he took a taxi, maybe, you don't know. Unusual, he didn't take his car, but his head was found with the jaw removed, and it says that brain matter was strangely absent, and it talks about how the spine was removed in a way where what's left in the body is in pieces that could be put into a bag. I'm talking about the torso, not the arms or legs.
Has the coroner established from the autopsy exactly what time he died from liver temp?
You are looking over that, and there is a person listed there who's I'll pull that name up in a minute for you as I'm flipping through, but it does have the time of death at 11:59 p.m. August 4th, which is a day before, roughly a little before.
Did he finish up with Mark Hamilton?
The details say that it was a late night appointment at 8 p.m. and it says that they were done roughly at about a little before 9 p.m.
Okay, and his car was still in the parking lot.
Yes. And then there's also something from his wife. His wife mentions that, if she usually checks in on her husband, calls him at the office, and if she hasn't heard back by, 10-ish, she gets worried because he's always back by then. So she started calling, and then she got really freaked and called the sheriff. But, you know, there's that 24-hour rule. And then, of course, his body was found early the next day.
Okay. Is it mentioned if he has a security cameras at his dentistry practice?
Nothing's mentioned about that, but if he did have security cameras, it would probably be in the report, you think.
Okay. Well, that was informative.
Yes. So you made your roll.
Did y'all finish drawing that off those files yet?
Just about.
The wife's name, by the way, is Carolyn.
It was a full cup of coffee, so.
Just don't get hasty. But
the two of you at double lots, it was probably the entire pot.
Yeah, good time.
So, okay, can I use one of the, what is it, coins that you gave us?
Typically you can, but not on a bad break.
All right.
However, that was just for 15 minutes. There's no reason you can't spend more time on these files if you want. And get in. That was just how fast you got it before the sheriff comes back. So, and the 15 minutes later.
Is the sheriff here yet?
I had this image of sticking up files on the wall to dry them out.
Yeah, about 15 minutes after you guys have sat down, you hear the front door with the bells on it ring, and you hear, "Oh, Alice, are they here?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah, Unc, they're over in the back there." And you see this guy approaching, middle-aged guy, salt of the earth type. I'm pulling a picture up of him, and he comes to you and gives a nod and puts out a hand and says, "Special agents. I'm Sheriff Al Mosley."
Sheriff Mosley. Al. Good to meet you.
Shakes your hand first since you spoke first.
Michael James, FBI. Al. These are my partners. Agent
Marco. Nice to meet you, Sheriff.
Agent Marcus, Agent Marco, and Agent Maul.
All right. He shakes all your hands and says, "Special agents, I want you to know that my office is here at your... whatever you need, do not hesitate to contact me." He pulls out some business cards, and he writes down his home line on the back of each and hands each of you one and goes, "I want you to know this is a nice community. We'd like to get this handled as soon as possible. A lot of people are scared. And I want you to know I'm here in whatever way you need me to handle anything, even if it turns out to be gopher work."
Well, that's very good, Sheriff. Thank you for your cooperation. Can you tell me how many detectives How many how many deputies do you have on your force here?
Well, none permanent. They're only called upon for special circumstances. I was going to call a few up, but then I was told the FBI was showing up, and here you are.
Fair enough.
Yes, sir.
Enough.
We're from the FBI. We're here to help.
he glances at Molotov, but doesn't say anything.
So I understand the latest victim, Miss Hotvin. She should be at the county morgue. Yes.
He nods at that. Says, "Damn shame. She was a nice gal."
Yes. My partners would like to go take a look at the body. If you could call ahead to the coroner and tell them to expect them.
Oh, of course, Alice. And he has Alice make the call.
So I suggest the two of you head over to the coroner, and I will continue to take a look through through these files here.
So I will drop my
notices. You can all make spot rolls.
Mike, don't want to go to the coroner. Let me deal with the files.
you can all make spot rolls.
Okay. What do I have you?
93. I see nothing.
Okay, you're
30. I see. I have very well.
I pass.
I still have some coffee on my glasses, okay. So I need to
don't forget to check anything you make, obviously. You do get a chance to go up in between sessions. Anybody who made their spot roll notices that Sheriff Mosley notices the coffee stains on the middle of the folders, but with great tact doesn't bring it up.
If he doesn't bring it up, neither would I. So.
Okay. So
yeah, I'll stay here and review the files and talk to our sheriff. You too could go check out the bodies, and you know, get some fresh coffee.
No, I think you should. I think the two of you should go. I'll. We don't want to confuse the sheriff by doing something
already done. He says, if I may, special agents, there's no reason. It sounds like two of you want to stay here. There's plenty of room if you wish to, and one person can go to the coroner's office.
Well, that
yeah, Marco, why don't you make a drive out to Southampton?
That's fine. Although, as metagaming, that decreases our chances of finding out more information.
No, it increases our chances because we're splitting up and covering more ground in less time.
All right, so I'll go to the morgue.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to talk to the sheriff about Vanessa Potvin.
Oh, yeah. He's standing right there. He said it was a damn shame.
Okay. Well, I'll let Marco and Mikey go for a bit because I was kind of dominating that. But that's what I want to do at some point is talk to him.
Okay, sure. I think Marco is going to the coroner's and the two of you are staying to go over these documents, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which group would like to go first?
Yeah, do Marco first.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Marco gets into his cool car, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever the agency gave me.
It's probably like
a dark SUV. It's a Crown Vic. Seriously. It's not going to be cool.
Maybe a dark SUV or something like that.
All right.
Four-door sedan and with bucket seats, if you prefer that. You know, it's whatever makes sense for you. It's cool.
SUV is fine with me. I will get whatever they gave me and drive to the morgue.
Okay. You drive to the morgue without incident, get there, come in, show your badge. A clerk.
FBI agent Marco. Did you get a call from the sheriff?
He goes, "Yes, sir." Oh, and he stands up and you know, waves you past going through the metal detector, obviously, and says, "There's a Dr. Bloom, who's Marvin Bloom, who is waiting to speak with you whenever you want to speak with him, sir."
Dr. Bloom. All right. Yeah, you can call him now.
Oh, thank you, sir. And he picks up the phone and calls and says, "Doctor." The FBI is here, he says, with, like, dramatic effect. And then he says, "Yes, doctor," and he puts the phone down and goes, "I should probably walk you there." And he starts leading you down the way. There's, like, some coded doors, you know, with the numbers where he just kind of punches it really fast for someone who's worked there a while, you know, and just goes through a couple. And he says, "You know, I've got an application into the FBI.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck with that.
Oh, thank you. He kind of pauses, waits.
Only the best make it, so.
Okay, you see him wince at that a little, but he doesn't say anything. He goes, I guess you're right. And he leads
you. If you prepare, you know, for being an agent your whole life as I did, you will have no trouble.
Okay. So there's a picture of the doctor as he comes out. Man.
I need to ask you, Shannon, what is the board? I didn't get the link. I went to the link. Sorry. I went to the Inferno, and, you know, I'm not seeing anything there.
Let me post it in the Skype notes. You can just click that if you see it in the message box.
Shannon, I'm just laughing at the picture you chose for the doctor.
Dr. Marvin Bloom. Yeah, it looks like an advertisement for some, you know, dentist.
It does.
Yeah. Guaranteed to clean your teeth.
I was thinking something else, you know. Or like an enhancement formula.
Yeah. Before there was Viagra. Did that link work okay, Randall?
You got the link that you sent to us via email.
Now, I just posted the Skype message there. You should be able to just click it. I can also.
I'm using my phone. Let me check.
Well, I can send it to your email then. You want me to?
Yeah, send it. Yeah, email.
Let me just resend it to your email.
All right.
So, sure. So you get to
the doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he comes out. He says, "Special Agent, I'm Dr. Marvin Bloom. Pleasure to make your
Dr. Bloom. The pleasure is all mine. Well, I guess the sheriff called and he mentioned why are we here, right?
Yes, he did.
Excellent. So if you can take me to the body of this woman, Miss Vanessa Hodvin.
Hodvin, yes, yes, of course. Yes.
Hodvin.
He leads you into an basically into the morgue area. You see the big slabs. It's cooler in there. You can see a few corpses that are exposed and whatnot. And you can see one that looks opened. You can feel a little shiver at that, but you know, no sand check required. He says there's not much left of her, but here
such
we go.
A shame.
He comes up to the one of the drawers and opens it up, and now you can make a sand check for sure.
Oh, yay.
All right.
Let's like that was a surprise.
Yeah, 13.
You made it?
That's a pass. Yeah, 13.
Is that an impale on your sand? Or just
No. Okay. No, I have like 33.
Okay, you lose a point at sand still because what you see of the body, there's not much left. It's like when they said there were pieces, they weren't kidding. It looks like somebody literally tore out this spine and just ruptured the whole abdominal part, and it broke up into like pieces. And then you can see like, you know, the arms and the legs, and it's just like a mess.
Mm.
And whatever, you know, whatever did this was not natural is the general thing you get. He also hands you like a sample. He says, this is the strange grayish polymer that was removed from beneath the fingernails of Ms. Hodvin.
Okay. What can I make out of it?
Never found. You're probably going to have to put it in, you know, do a lab. You also have the option of sending it to one of your labs up in D.C. and having them look at it. But if you have a high score in chemistry, you could do some time.
No, I don't.
Okay. Then you would probably have it, you know, ushered up to a D.C. lab.
All right.
He tells you, we don't know what it is, where we sent it up, you know, to a lab also in D.C. to have them look at it.
Okay. Yeah, I would like to send it to the FBI lab.
He has it sent up to the FBI, but you're probably going to have it sent to, you know, an even more special branch who deal in the supernatural, right? So, but yeah, so he gave you a sample of that, and he says, as you can see, most of the major muscle groups in the back and the neck were shattered, you know, were severed, and the ribs and the hip bones are shattered. There's no head. We dug the grayish polymer from under the fingernails. What remained of her body was found up in the trees. Fortunately, it was discovered early by one of the senior librarians coming in, and most of the children didn't have to witness this horror. I don't know what serial killer is doing this, but he's a sick person. I hope he's caught and he's executed and he burns in hell.
Unfortunately, you know, whoever we get, we need to process through the law. So, but I will look at the body, you know, and see if I get any extra clue or anything of the remains. If I can get a sense of what I'm looking while I talk to the doctor.
What skill are you thinking to use in there?
I guess I'm gonna have to use. Well, you know, I don't have medicine, so.
Do you have cryptozoology or zoology or biology or medicine even? You can make a roll for that if you want. You can even roll the default.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at my. I don't have any forensics here.
Okay. Do you have you can make a natural history and a medicine if you don't have any of the other things that I mentioned. Those are probably your best two rolls to make.
Right. So let me roll first.
Okay, sure.
I got a 27.
Okay.
I didn't make it.
Okay. Do you have any desire to use a clue chip or try a different angle?
No, I will talk to the doctor.
Okay.
So yes, as I was saying, we're gonna get this man. You can rest assured, doctor. That's why we are here. I have a few questions, though. What else can you tell me about anything else that you found that could be of importance for this case, Doctor? I know that this doesn't seem like the act of the same man, so can you tell me about the tools that were used, you know, to destroy her body like this, or...
Go ahead and make an easy social skill roll to get some additional information besides the regular information he's going to give you.
Okay.
So double whatever social skill you want to roll.
Can I use fast talk or?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I pass.
Okay. So the first thing he tells you, he says, I haven't gotten the second autopsy that was done for the dentist. It's being sent, but I'm told that he fell from a great height, which doesn't make much sense to me. And then he pauses and he looks at you and he seems to trust you in that moment. It opens up. He goes, "I don't normally believe in UFOs and aliens, but I'm just saying I'm keeping an open mind here. I'm not like that crazy farmer turn or whatever his name is."
I hear you, Doctor. You don't have to worry about that.
Whatever killed her was some type of large predator. Whatever killed the dentist as well, obviously. But this is a very peaceful community and civilized, so there's not really any large animals in this area. I don't know what to think of all this. It's unsettling. I just wonder if there's some serial killer involved in this who's just mimicking things. And you can see in that moment that he's trying to convince himself that it's some sick person, because the idea that it could be something supernatural or aliens, which, you know, is just like incredibly terrifying to him.
Right. So you're saying this wasn't done by any animal or predator that you can think of in the area of Long Island.
Indeed, he says. And while the camera closes up on you as you're pondering that, then we cut back to the other two agents at the table. And we're back to Mikey and Molotov, who are looking at the boxes. Some have coffee stains on them.
If Mikey attempts to bring coffee near the files again, I politely pick up the cup and move it to the other side of the room.
Okay.
No, I didn't want the coffee to begin with. It was the young lady bringing us the coffee. So I'm going to leave the looking at the details to Molotov. And what I want to do is to look through the files to try to do. Basically, I'm looking for two things. Mm-hmm. I want to, come up with a map and, put pins in the three places where the bodies were found.
Okay.
That's
actually already up on the map behind you. It's listed there where the bodies were discovered. Yeah. Well, the sheriff brought it in for you guys.
But
wasn't there when you arrived.
We don't have a picture of it. Is there anything?
Okay, that's your point. Yeah.
Is there anything like obvious about it? Like they're all, right next to each other, or they're scattered about the city?
So there's one in Montauk. Then there's one by the edge of the Peconic Bay there on the map, and then there's another on the interstate, which is in the very southern part of the map between East Hampton and Montauk there.
Okay, so they're separated by...
Yeah, so it's kind of like a triangle, you could say, but...
Okay. Well, there's 3 points, so I would assume it's a triangle.
There you
of
go.
Some kind. Then the second thing that I want to look for is to see if there's any obvious connection between any of them. You know, like if the librarian was the school librarian that of the school the cheerleader went to, or, cheerleader is a patient of the dentist, or...
Okay. Yeah. What's your library use skill before you roll?
Base.
25? Okay.
Yep.
All right. And while you're doing that, what does Molotov wish to do, Brent?
I'm looking through the three files. Mainly, I'm concerned about the time of death. We know Carl Moretti, the doctor, was killed about somewhere around 11:59, maybe.
August 4th. Midnight, and I'm and I want to know Lauren, what's that last name?
Harrogate.
I can't read my own writing. And Vanessa Hotfin, what time were they killed?
Okay. All right, so both of you can make easy library use rolls, so double your library use as you're getting this information in the next couple hours or thereabouts.
I impaled my library use.
Impaled gets you more.
I made it under. I made 21%, which is less than my regular 25. So,
yay! Okay. So, like a half with the bonus, right?
That's
right. Okay. So, Molotov, you're going through the information. You get that Vanessa Hotvin report shows her dead at 5:15 a.m. on August 10th.
Okay.
Lauren Harrogate, who was on August 8th, died at 10:05 p.m. Though the abduction happened, the abduction of her happened at 8:36 p.m.
On the 8th or the 7th?
That would be on the 8th, right?
I thought she was found on the 8th.
She was found on the 8th at 10:15 p.m.
Oh, excuse me. August 7th, yes. Is that right?
I don't know. We don't have that information.
So you've got let me just double check here and make sure we're on the same page. So Lauren Harrogate, the cheerleader, dead at 10:05 p.m.
Okay.
August 8th. Okay.
Okay.
So
her she was abducted 8:36 p.m. on August 8th. Okay.
So she probably wasn't found until the 9th then.
Yes, but he was asking about the time of death, and I just mentioned that's time of death, but she was abducted at that time. She was found on the morning of the 9th, yes.
As I overhear Molotov mumbling those times to himself, I comment that, well, those are awfully specific for times of death.
Look at you go, the coroner is a very specific man.
They must have a good coroner here.
Make idea rules since you brought that up, Jim. Both of you.
Yeah, that's a pass.
Okay. Yeah, the fact that someone is reporting the time of death and actually putting an exact time, that does seem strange, because usually when they list times, you know, they're not able to put it down to like a certain minute, usually. I mean, not typically, right? So that just seems a little weird.
Agent Molotov, is there some detail in there about why they are able to be so specific? Stopped watch or
I look at you like that's unusual.
Yes, that is unusual. The coroners are usually not able to be that specific.
Call the coroner and ask him. I didn't issue the time of death. I'm just reading what's in the report.
Yes, and I'm asking you to read the report further and see if there's something in there.
Okay, Keeper of Arcane. Or I read the report further. Is there anything illuminating? I'll
make a roll. Well, you already made your roll by half, so it's an extension. So you're going through it, and there is a range that Dr. Marvin Bloom puts down that's basically putting it, you know, he basically says this is the time he lists is the likely midpoint of an hour. So if he lists like, you know, 10:05, then he's basically put it between the hour of when it was likely to have happened.
I thrust the paper at Mikey and go, see, that's why. He's just trying to split the difference. Makes perfect sense. Now, to the important questions. The last people to see Lauren Harrogate and Vanessa Hotfin, who were they? The last people they had contact with.
So the last person to see Lauren Harrogate was her mother. You can see that there's some extra details in here that were not given to you by Marcus. Apparently, Lauren's mother was the one who witnessed the abduction and basically fainted.
Wait. It witnessed the abduction?
Well, that's what the report says. It says she likely witnessed it because she was found unconscious when the police arrived. There was a security alarm at the house that was tripped. When the police showed up, it talks about how the French doors leading to her veranda were broken in from the outside. And
I look at Mikey and go, Mikey, I think we have a witness we need to talk to.
Yeah. And then it lists, hold on, it lists that Sandra Harrogate had an is at the Swansea Clinic, which is at the psychiatric ward, basically for rich people, which is on the map there too.
Okay.
Feel like father, there's no father. He died of cancer about 9 months ago, and it lists that this had already put the mother in a fragile state of mind.
Okay. All right. Jim, and what about Vanessa Hopp?
What's your question with Vanessa? Oh, the senior librarian
was the last person to see?
Was the one who was found her. And her name is Janet Winthrop.
Well, the last person to see her, not who found her.
She is the last person who saw her and found her.
Okay.
Because she, right. She's a senior librarian, so she probably left late and then came early is what you all think. Right. Jim, what additional stuff were you looking up? Especially with your impale, I want to give you more information too.
Well, I was first trying to identify if there were any connections between any of the victims.
Okay. Well, the first thing that obviously stands out is the fact that the librarian is a librarian at the high school, and the cheerleader goes to the same high school. Okay. It's basically the Montauk High School. That stands out right away. Carl Moretti is a dentist in the local area. And again, it's a small community. It's roughly a little over 8,000 people here. So, what else were you looking for, if anything?
Is there something that, okay. So there's a possible connection between Harrogate and Hotfin.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Is there anything that would connect Moretti to either of them? He was their dentist, you know, maybe something obvious like that or.
No, you don't find anything. Well, you don't find anything in the reports about that. But you could probably go and speak with Stephanie Miller to see if those people were patients of his, if you want.
Right.
Though there is more than one dentist in this community too, but sure. It's a possibility.
Okay.
With your impale, I will also add that. Yeah, plotting out, like looking at the times and everything of abduction and whatnot, and being that you're a Delta Green agent, you're thinking that whatever based on how these people disappeared and everything, and barring the fact that they didn't jump into a car and race to some spot to get murdered, that they were taken up in the air by something.
Let's go get killed.
Yeah, or someone or something, whatever you want to call it. You know, the report for the cheerleader basically says that the French doors were broken on the outside to the inside, and there were no other points of entry that were broken into, and it says that the veranda is like 30 feet up.
Okay.
And there's like a huge lot around the Harrogate house. So getting in there and getting out before the police arrived, who came in pretty damn fast, by the way. Like they were there, like the alarm was tripped and they were there in, you know, less than 5 minutes. And the police in this case would be the sheriff.
I was going to say there's only the sheriff.
So. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's, the sheriff, you know, was there in less than 5 minutes, but still somebody, you know, breaking in and trying to get off that without being seen. Plus, you know, even though the lot sizes are huge, there were neighbors turning their light, you know, their lights on and,
sure.
You know, you consider the fact that that's a distinctive possibility if the supernatural is involved here.
Okay.
Did Molotov have something he wanted to say to Mikey, or did you want to do something else? I wasn't clear about that.
Oh, I always made it clear to Mikey that, you know, we've got a witness we need to go interview. So you feel like a trip to the psych ward?
Yes, perhaps you should do that. I want to go speak with the the assistant here at the dentist's office. He was the first victim. There may be something specific as to why he got this all started, and I'm curious as to see if there's some connection, some way to connect him to Miss Harrogate or Miss Hotfin.
Okay. So you're going that way and you're going to go to the Swansea Clinic. Is that correct?
That's right.
Let me ask. Both of you can make idea rolls.
All right.
Yes, I can.
let me see. What's my idea? Yes, I have an idea.
Okay. So you guys are, you know, you guys are talking about this and discussing it, and something that occurs to you is you're not sure what the condition of Mrs. Harrogate is, but if she's in a situation where she's not just able to talk, you know, like she's still in shock or something, somebody who has some good psychology would be helpful in that circumstance. So something to keep in mind if one of you is better with psychology than the others.
I have 50% in psychology.
You might be the best of the three. I don't know.
I actually have 57, but I'm not going
to. Okay.
I'm not going to steal my percentile.
You guys are roughly the same. The same. You know, just keeping that in mind. One time I ran into somebody showed up.
Pull out a pocket watch and start waving in front of your face. Tell me what your percentile is.
No, if she's at the if she's had some kind of mental breakdown, Agent Molotov, I suspect you'll be the ideal person to speak with her.
Okay,
I appreciate the vote of confidence, Mikey.
Okay, who wants to go next? I'm the two of you.
As I add my breath, because you're crazy too. So.
I'm going to hop in the car and head out to the crazy farm. I mean, the stress clinic.
Swansea Clinic.
I am going to speak with the sheriff's, the secretary lady. I forgot her name.
Alice?
Yes.
You realize that she's some relation to the sheriff. Because at one point, she heard her call him Unc, short for uncle. So. Okay.
I am just going to ask her to tell Agent Marco when he returns where we've gone, and that we will meet him back here later.
Sure. Sounds good. All right. So you leave a message for that. You're off to go see Stephanie Miller. Alice calls ahead to let her know that you're coming, and you're off to the Swansea Clinic. So yep. Any preference to who goes first of the two of you? Maybe pick.
You go ahead, Jim.
Okay.
Just want to see how you guys work together as players and in character. It'll give me an idea of your weaknesses. Yes. All right. So Mikey gets to the dentist's office. It's like about a 5-minute drive. And as you're driving there, you can see that there's a part of the streets are closed off. And you can see that there are people getting autographs of a group. Of a group called Phenomenon X, who are sort of like lookalikes of Mulder and Scully, because X-Files just came out recently, right? And so Phenomenon X is some like real life, quote unquote, documentary that explores all the supernatural and whatnot. And they're here with their theory of what's going on that they're going to present tonight. So a lot of people have been getting together for this and whatnot.
Oh dear God, those guys again.
Yeah. Joy.
I will skirt the crowd and.
Sure. So yeah, you arrive in this little parking lot area. You park your car. You notice as you pull up right away that the the office is open, and you can see a woman there who's looking up as you get out of your car. I'm going to pull a picture up of her in a minute, but you come into the office and she goes, "Oh, hello. Are you?" Special agent, she gives whatever your name is that you're using.
Yes, you are Miss Miller.
Yes, Stephanie Miller.
Looking at the pictures now, I would have said Mrs. Miller.
Dun, dun, dun. She says, yes, what can I help you with? Would you like some tea or water or...
No, thank you. I just need to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind.
Yes.
Is there anyone around? I mean,
she goes. Well, I've got a client over there who's just had their teeth cleaned, and he gives you kind of a smile and says hello, and he just leaves. And she goes, "It's been pretty quiet here. After what happened, the office is going to be closing down in a few weeks. I just have to take care of certain things for the wife and whatnot, since this really isn't her specialty."
Of course. So sorry. So there's no one around right now.
Yeah, you look around. There's no one else.
So Can you tell me, she's the one that found the dentist, right?
She's the one who noticed that was still there.
Yeah, she, okay.
She's also the one who would probably know all the files and whatnot theory. Yep. Right?
Yeah, sorry, the dentist was found in a park, so not him.
Yeah.
Not her. So you noticed that the Dr. Moretti's car was here, and that caused you to call the police. Call Sheriff Pansley.
Yeah, yes. Well, I came in. And I noticed that Dr. Moretti's car was here, and I thought, it's not like him to work so late, but you know, it happens once in a while, especially during tax season. But when I came in, everything was locked up and I had to turn the lights on. I thought maybe he was sleeping back in a cot, and I knocked on his door gently and nothing. And then eventually I opened it up and it was empty and he wasn't here. And that got me concerned. But it was really early. I didn't want to wake up his wife in case, you know, maybe the car broke down. But then I eventually called his wife, Carolyn, you know, and she didn't know where he was either. And that's when I began to get really concerned.
And is Dr. Moretti's car still here?
She goes, well,
sheriff's office tow it away already?
Well, the sheriff, yes, it was towed away. But it's just she like pulls out a handkerchief, starts dabbing her eyes, trying to keep herself together as she's recalling everything.
Yes, I understand this is difficult for you. I apologize. Yeah.
It's just things like this shouldn't happen in a nice town like this, she says.
Things like this should not happen anywhere, I'm afraid, but sometimes they do.
Okay, make a social skill roll. She's not going to attack you or anything. It's just if you make it, she'll be very open to what you said. And she might like you too.
I cannot persuade her very well, but I could bargain or fast talk with her quite well.
You could certainly do a fast talk. One could certainly argue this is a fast talk.
I pass handily. Yes.
Okay. She says, well, I guess you're right. We have to accept that death happens. He wasn't a spring chicken or anything, but he wasn't old by any means.
And when was the last time you saw him?
She thinks for a moment. She goes, well, he had that late appointment, but I'm only here till about 6. I told him not to forget that his wife wanted him to call every hour as usual. He was a little irritated, but he said, yes, yes. I left. I remember I left some of my chewing gum here. I was going to come back, but he seemed in such a bad mood. I didn't want to come back and have him more irritated, because he gets in those moods sometimes. And so I went to some drugstore and got some more gum, she says, in a kind of like, this is the most natural thing in the world to say. And then she says, and that was when I last saw him.
And do you know why he was upset?
Well, I think some of his patients hadn't paid, and he was dealing with the insurance, trying to get the money. And there was one who he'd given a lot of work on and whatnot. And I think it was a Mrs. Peabody, Alice Peabody.
I see.
She stiffed him. And she comes from a wealthy family. You think they'd be better than that. You notice there's a portrait over kind of near there. It's got a man and a woman. And she sees you looking at it. She goes, oh, that's Dr. Moretti and his wife. I'll pull that up in a moment.
Ah, very nice. Nice picture. Tell me, do you know if Dr. Moretti knew either Lauren Hargate or Vanessa Hotvin? Are they patients here, perhaps?
Well, she says, she thinks for a moment and says, I don't think Lauren, that poor girl, I don't think she went here, but her mother, Sandra, came every 6 months or so. Miss Hotvin, I think she saw another dentist.
Okay. Oh.
Would you like to look at the files or anything in particular?
No, that's okay for now. Thank you.
Brent's loving the pictures.
No, out of character, I'm laughing because it's always funny when the keeper throws an obvious hint at you.
Keep in mind, I'm known for giving red herrings too. So, and I'll let people play out their red herrings. Because I like a real clue trail. But it could be a real thing. I don't know. She says, if you want, is there anything you want to look through? I mean, these documents will be here for the next 2 weeks. And she writes down her, like, you know, her home phone in case you want to reach her there, and the business phone, hands it to you on a card.
Thank you. Would you mind if I just poked around for a little bit?
Oh, of course. She goes,
Dr. Moretti? Sorry. So he was seeing a patient late, and that would have been in one of these rooms?
Oh, yeah. She leads you over there.
Okay. And then does he have an office that he usually finishes up his paperwork in, or?
Oh, yes, right here. She says she leads you into his office. You can see it's got the stereotypical doctor-dentist stuff. He's got, like, a model sports car in there, some family photos, himself playing golf, a few golf awards. It looks like he belongs to the Montauk Yacht Club, boating club, more accurately.
Sorry, and can you tell me exactly where his car was parked?
It was right in front, she says. I thought he just came early to work. It was quite a thing, and she starts crying a little. Okay. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do this in front of you. I know you've got a job to do.
That's fine, Mrs. Miller. Thank you. You've been a great help. Thank you. I'll just poke around for a few minutes, and then I'll see myself out. Thank you.
All right. She goes, we don't have another patient for a half hour. I'll be over here if you need me. She goes up to the front desk. So what do you want to do?
Basically, what I want to do is kind of start in the room, you know, where he would have been treating the patient.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not expecting to see any, you know, like anything obvious, but I just kind of want to retrace what I think his last steps would have been.
Okay.
Because presumably he had to have been abducted sometime between, you know, seeing that patient and, but before he got in the car.
Sure.
Right. So I just want to, you know, kind of, you know, start in the room, look around the room, move into his office, because, you know, presumably he did something in his office there, and look around there for a few minutes, and then, you know, head out, you know, walk kind of out the door, look at the porch or whatever, if there's, you know, something, kind of look at where the car was and just try to get an idea of, you know, okay, he must have been taken here. Is there anything here that's...
Sure. That's a good idea. Make a spot roll, please. This will represent all your looking around in and outside of the office.
I believe I just impale. Yes, I impale my spot.
Oh, nice time to impale. What a pro.
I am a postal inspector.
Stop. You see a piece of mail. What's got a clue on it? My God, I'm good, you say to yourself. No, you spend probably a good half hour, if not a little more time, looking around, poking through, you know, the offices, looking at it, thinking about things, go outside, go back in, come back. And at one point you're standing outside right in front of the office, just kind of looking in the parking lot, and your eyes settle on something, and you walk over to it, and you realize it's a grayish substance, probably polymer, like the report you read. It's probably about 20 feet away from around the general area where the car was parked. It's, you know how you have those curbs and sometimes in front of each parking slot?
Yeah.
This one's a little damaged, so it looks like the polymer got stuck underneath it, and that maybe that's why nobody saw it.
Okay.
But you can take that as a sample. You have the tools and everything.
Well, if I didn't, I was going to go in and go back in and ask to borrow.
No, you have the
tools. A sample jar.
Yeah, we've got them.
Okay.
It's presumed you're carrying that stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so that's not particularly, so that's off to the side somewhere then. That's not like between the front door and the car.
It's about 20 feet to the right of the door, and the car was probably about 10 feet away from where you found the substance.
Okay.
Based on the stall spaces and everything. But it occurs to you, because of your impale and as you're thinking about it, that at 8 o'clock he may have been the only car parked in here.
Right.
You know.
Okay, I will ponder that, and
okay,
you can go.
We'll cut over to Agent Marco. Are you back, Randall?
I'm back.
Okay, so you cut back. You were focusing. The camera was on you as you pondered everything, and now what do you do? Action.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna get this sample and send it to
the FBI for further examination or whatever contact we have in Delta Green.
Okay. You send it. Yeah, you send it without any problems.
Right.
And it's a rush too, is what you request.
Okay. So I'm also gonna leave all the information where they can reply with all the details or whatever they find. And I guess I asked the doctor, do you happen to still have the other two bodies, or have they already given to the families for the funerals?
He says, well, as fortune would have it, the bodies are both here because the investigation was open, and once word got around the FBI was getting involved, we were able to keep the families at bay. Would you like to look at the other bodies?
Yes, I would like to see if I can find any, you know, relation between the three bodies other than, you know, what is being reported about their spines.
Like, of course.
Specific marks or anything like that you can help me out with.
He says, of course. Go ahead and make a – well, you already made your fast talk roll, I believe.
Right.
Or something, right? So he's wants to be helpful. So he's like he looks over and I'd say another sand check, but reduced if you fail. So, because these bodies look horrific, just like the other one you saw.
Okay. 32, I just made it.
Okay. Yeah, it's no loss this time because you sort of saw it, but. So, yeah, it's horrific. But as you're looking the bodies over, and he's kind of pointing things out to you that were already detailed, he says to you, no, it's interesting how this particular one was taken apart, almost like a strange. If I didn't know better, it'd almost be like a saw tool that did this.
Hmm. Is this dentist?
Yeah, he points to the dentist, what remains of the dentist, and says, "Yeah, just the way it was torn through. I mean, there's nothing this. I mean, even a you know, a grizzly bear couldn't do this. And there's no grizzlies in Long Island."
Wow. Okay. Do I see any marks, or, you know, that maybe have escaped the doctor when he was telling me about the condition of the bodies?
No, but you do recall while talking with other agents and everything that apparently, well, excuse me, not with other agents, but when talking earlier with this coroner, he'd mentioned to you that there was a report coming, and the main thing on it was that Dr. Moretti's body had suffered trauma consistent with a fall from a great height.
Yeah. Is that something that I can corroborate when I see the body?
It would take you more time to do that. If you have forensics, you could spend some time going over there, but chances are if it's coming from a lab in DC, it's probably legit is what you think. You could certainly have the Delta Green lab look into that as well and just put it in with orders when you send the grayish polymer off to verify it.
Okay, we can do that. Well, I guess something in their faces, I guess the face of the doctor is smashed.
Remember, two of the heads. The impact. Not, two of the heads.
All
the
heads are missing. Yeah.
Only the doctor's head was found, and his jaw and brain are missing.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a portion of his head.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, it's just horrific to look at.
All right. So I will just give the doctor my contact card so he can, you know, call me if he finds anything else.
Okay. He gets your number. Marcus checked you guys into a hotel, so you could either give him like your cell phone number, the hotel's front lobby where they'll take messages for you, or, you know, even a pager if you want. So Dr. Bloom gives you the office number here.
Okay. So I will go back to the sheriff and see. Well, I guess we have cell phones, those bricks,
yeah,
from the 90s, I can call. Yeah.
They're big. They
Mikey, yeah. I can try to call Mikey and Molotov from the car and see where they are at right now.
Okay. So just to tie you guys in together, you want to call Mikey, is it?
Yeah, let's call Mikey.
All right. So Mikey, right after you're doing your thing, your cell phone is ringing. It's probably in your It's probably in your car. Might be on your waist. It's up to you.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
You hear it either way.
If he calls while I'm at the dentist, I left my phone in the car, so I don't hear it.
Okay. Okay. Make a party luck roll between the two of you. Dun dun dun. Who's got the lowest of the two of you?
Yeah, let me check.
I have 50.
Okay.
And I have 55, so that's you, Jim.
There you go.
And that's a fail.
Okay. So it goes to his voicemail. You leave a message, I guess, and then you try to call Molotov or something else?
Yeah, Molotov.
All right. Molotov's phone rings.
I pick up my phone.
When you're getting right to, you pulled into the Swansea Clinic.
I flip open my StarTAC.
All right. Molotov picks up.
Yeah. Hey, I'm just down at the morgue. Where can we meet each other?
Where is the Swansea Clinic again?
He could actually drive over there and get to it. It's basically near the relatively close for him to get over there. I believe it is the white building under the two birds on the map.
Yes. Inferno. Where it says Riverhead. Yeah, I see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I tell him I just pulled in the clinic there. And why don't you come drive over here and meet me in Riverhead? I'm at the Swansea Clinic. I'm about to interview the mother of one of the deceased.
All right.
Okay. All right. So you guys link up. And just so I'm clear, Jim, did I cover everything in your scene before your next scene, before I cut to these two?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay. So, yeah, the two of you link up. It's a nice clinic. It borders the Peconic Bay there on the map. Looks like it would be very therapeutic to look at the ocean waves if you're recovering. Big facility. It's actually got three buildings. Looks like a lot of money.
I'm leafing through a copy of Town and Country as I wait for him to show up.
You pull up and see Molotov leafing through what he said. Do you want to comment on that or just go in?
I will go in with Molotov. See what he...
Okay.
Marco, what was so important you had to stop me before I went in and interview this witness?
Say again?
What was so important you had to stop me before I went in and interviewed this witness?
Oh, no, nothing. I just wanted to be with you just, you know, to see if we can cover more ground together. Let's go ahead and interview. Yeah, go ahead. Let's go ahead.
All okay. Right, so as we walk and talk, I tell him who we're going to go talk to. So
yeah, he kind of fills me in on... He's the mother of the cheerleader, right?
Cheerleader's mother, who basically had a nervous breakdown or something and is at the Swansea Clinic.
Right. So
we're going to take kind of easy on her. She might be pretty fragile, you understand, right?
Yeah. So any idea on how to approach the incident without having her, you know, start screaming or something like that?
Just follow my lead. I've dealt with this before.
All right.
You know, when I was in Israel, Bob Dole, you know, he kind of melted down when we saw the lobster man. But, you know, I walked him through it. It's all good, you know?
Okay.
All right. You sound like you know what you're doing.
Awesome.
Seeing the things I see, you'd be here too.
Okay. You you guys come up to the front. There's a guy there who looks like he's kind of the gatekeeper. He's a African-American guy dressed up. Looks at the two of you. Did you just pull a picture of himself on the wall?
No, I just had a Ghostbusters flashback. He said gatekeeper.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, you do have a picture up there. I see, Marco. You look very serious.
Yeah,
he looks up. He goes, hi, can I help the two of you?
Yes, we are.
Look at the picture. Marco belongs to this clinic. Jeez. Marco needs a vacation.
I've seen things. I've seen things.
He has.
Those are haunted eyes.
Yeah, indeed. That's what I pick it. We are with the FBI. We're wondering if you could help us to get us in. You know, get us in touch with one of your patients.
Looks at your IDs and says, yes. Who are you looking for? He starts looking through paperwork.
I look at Molotov.
Marco is looking at you, Molotov. He says, who are you looking for?
What's her name?
Sandra Harrogate.
Hotfin or Harrogate. I keep getting those two confused. Yeah, Thunder Harrogate.
You give the name, whatever you think it is. You give the proper name. He pulls it up and says, "Oh, she's over in the C-wing." He says, "I can have an attendant come down and escort you up there."
That'll be fine.
What can you tell us about her current state of mind?
He says, "Well, let's see here." He flips through some papers. Then he, looks through, one of those big monitors, the ones that are not the flat screens we have today, but the really big ones, and starts poking around, tapping on the keyboard, and takes him about 5 minutes, but eventually pulls something up, and he says, "Catatonic."
Yeah, and look at Molotov. Seems like we're not going to get a lot of info out of her. But yeah, if you can take us to the woman, regardless.
Catatonic doesn't mean silent. It's all on how you approach it.
All right.
Okay. This guy who looks at you guys very like you know what you're talking about. He's got a name tag, by the way, that says Brian Hutchinson.
Brian.
He's like, okay. He goes, I can have somebody watch the front while I take you up if you two want, since you're in a hurry. Stands up.
Lead on, McDuff.
He chuckles at that, like you're the greatest comedian in the world. He's got like a sketchbook with him that he seemed to have just be holding under his arm as he's walking with you two. He starts leading you that way. He says, anything to share about the murders?
I glance at Marco and I sort of shake my head, you know.
And Marco, what do you do? The opposite of what Molotov wants.
No, everything that you have read on the papers, basically.
Okay. He's like, "Oh, well, I hope you catch this serial murder. It's pretty scary for us local folk."
We hope so as well.
We're the FBI. We always get our man.
Okay. Make a social skill roll to see if he feels at ease to say that.
No.
He does not look comforted. He does not look comforted, but he just kind of grunts to that, and you guys get in the elevator.
I adjust my sunshades.
He looks at you, says, "There's not too much sun up on the fourth floor. You probably won't need those if you don't want them," he says, after he thinks about it. Elevator.
I look at him and just say, "It's required."
Oh, okay. So he's there, and there's like a thin, gray-haired orderly with a name tag that says Mitch Anders. He says, "This is Mitch Anders. He's the orderly for this particular wing. He'll help you see Mrs. Harrogate." He goes, "I'll be downstairs if you need anything." And Mitch says, "Hi,
thank you.
How you doing?" And he puts a hand out to shake both your hands and says, "I can lead you to Mrs. Harrogate, but she's pretty quiet, and it's hard to get anything out of her, but well, you'll see when we get there."
Did she say anything since she got here? Anything that could be useful?
No, but both of you can make Marco can make a social skill roll to get him to open up a little.
All right. Check. Oh, 59 out of 55.
Would you like to re-roll that, or
yeah, let me re-roll that.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take one. Chip's back.
Right. Yeah, 12.
That's half, right?
Yeah, more than half.
Okay, nice.
Actually, go ahead. No, go ahead.
He says. Well, there've been different people helping her along, but there's one girl, actually, one of the volunteers who actually got her to start communicating with letter blocks. I don't know what to make of all that, but apparently they've got a good relationship because she's been pretty quiet with just about everyone else, including Dr. Jameson.
Could we have this volunteer come join us? Is she around?
Well, she doesn't come in until the evening. She works, and then she volunteers here.
Hmm.
But
are there some letterbox available we could take with us?
Oh, he leads you there, and you can see like it's a glass partitioned area where you can look in, and you can see a lot of patients at different tables and different activities. And he points over to this 50-something woman without, you know, who looks pretty harrowed, of course, in a robe and whatnot. He goes, "That's Mrs. Sandra Harrogate." He says, "She used to be." Keep wanting to call her Mrs., but her husband died about a year ago. But he gestures over. You can see a bunch of letter blocks are on tables around there. He says, "Yeah, it's got the whole alphabet there," he says, stating the obvious.
Okay. Well, that might be kind of useful. Thank you.
You want to give it a try, Agent Moll?
It can't hurt. You want to join me or do you want to observe?
I will stay here and see what else can I gather from, you know, from these other people. So, looking through the glass.
All right.
So you go ahead.
Is this going to be a psychology role, or how are we going to handle this?
So, first off, you need to make a social skill role to convince him to open up and let you guys in without trying to get a doctor, because you guys don't necessarily have the paperwork to say, "Hey, we're going to do this." But you are FBI, so...
Hang on just a second. I got to grab the phone.
Okay. You want to roll then, Randall, to...
Yeah.
You guys in?
Yeah, I actually have it, kind of good. It's part of the training we get on the FBI, so let me roll.
Okay.
24. That's a pass.
Nice. Is that a half, by chance?
Two? More than a half.
Wow. You're just on fire. he doesn't even ask for anything. He just lets you guys in and lets you go in to see Mrs. Harrogate. So what did you want to, who did you want to talk to while he was trying to investigate Harrogate, Randall?
It's a woman, right? The one that is with us right now?
Yeah, Mrs. Harrogate is the woman in the bathrobe.
Yeah.
There's some other people in there in different parts of the table, but not near her.
Sorry about that.
No. I'm talking about I was going to stay behind and talk to whoever led us to...
Oh, the orderly? Mitch Anders? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
Chanders is her name?
Mitch Anders? It's a man, actually. Old man.
Oh, it's an old man. Okay.
Yep, Mitch.
Yes, I'm
Mitch.
Going to talk to him while
sure.
Agent Moll gives this a try.
Okay. Do you actually want to train
socials?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead.
Do you actually want to
try and ask what do you say social skill?
Persuade, credit rating, fast talk, bargain, anything where you're doing the talkie, right?
Gotcha. Okay. Fast talk are probably the best thing for me.
Did you want to try and get
or psychology?
Randall, did you want to try and get something from Mitch, or are you just keeping him busy while Malta?
No, I want to see if whatever this volunteer has gathered of information, from this lady.
Okay.
If he has been present, if she has shared any information with him so far.
Okay. So this is probably going to be the last scene since we're at about 8:15, by the way, Pacific.
Okay.
Time. But why don't we have Molotov make a psychology roll first? And if he fails, I can then give some clues to you through your method.
All right.
So what are you doing there, Brent? You're going over and trying to work your magic?
My psychology of... I got a psychology of 50. I rolled a 40.
Okay. So you are I'll tell you now, you're going to need to roll, like, make it by half or an impale to get something from her. So she's catatonic. You can try to re-roll that, or you can wait to see how Randall does on his social skill roll first to see if he rolls incredibly well before you burn a chip, too.
Would using letter blocks help any?
You are using the letter blocks. It's representative of your role.
Okay.
With psychology.
All right. Well,
yeah.
I presume
okay, you're using the letter blocks.
Yeah, let's throw it to Randall and see what he does.
Okay, so you're talking to Mitch Anders. Go ahead and make a roll as you're chatting with him, Randall.
Okay, so you said a fast talk, right?
Sure, you can do fast talk.
Yeah, 81, I failed.
Okay, back to you, Molotov.
Fail. okay. Well, let me try it again. I guess I need to burn a chip for this.
I'll grab a chip from your thing. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Down to one chip. Oh, noes.
Actually, I think that all of you get a chip for pushing the investigation along, and Jim's getting a chip for something I'm not going to mention because it may give something.
Okay. Come on, dice. Don't fail me now. Shoot. 59 out of 50. No.
Again?
I'm talking to a brick wall. Yeah.
Another chip?
Talking to a brick wall.
Another chip? Or you want to roll and see how he does? Both of you can. Go ahead and roll. I'll take your chip.
Let's do Randall first.
Okay, do Randall first.
Okay.
Take a chip. I'm taking a chip off. Go for it, Randall.
I pass.
Regular, half, and pit. You need to roll really well to get something. This is.
Yeah. So it's 37 out of 55.
Okay, that's regular. Yeah, you probably need a half or impale to get something out of this guy, either of you. So you can, I will tell you. I will tell you ahead of time that this is a low to moderate clue of many. It's not like this major clue. Like, oh my god, if you don't get it, you guys are just going to be stuck.
Now,
the entire scenario does not hinge on it.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm just letting you know in case you're like, oh, I want to keep some chips, right?
Now, Shannon, if for instance, I can use my psychology instead of fast talk, then...
Yeah, in fact, from a metagaming point of view, from a good metagaming point of view, it may behoove you to use other skills just so you can check them off and have them potentially go up in between sessions, too. So
yeah, so if you allow me to use my psychology instead of my fast talk, I pass by more than half, just barely.
Well, I think you're going to have to call it and roll it, right? So if you want to do psychology, you could certainly try that angle if you want and just re-roll it. Because that was a fast talk, right?
That's fine. Then you re-roll. I know. 80.
All right. You got two chips and... Molotov's got two chips. You can let it go, or you can,
I'll let it go, and we'll wait and wait. You know, we can also talk to this girl and see if she can help us.
You know what? I'll burn another chip, and I'm going to try and do something creative with the blocks and see if I can try to get her to open up. So
I'm going to give you a 5-point bonus because of what you just said.
You know, maybe I'll spell out with the blocks like the name of her daughter. See if I can just shock her out of catatonia,
That may not be a good move.
Okay, I just rolled a 32, and my fast talk is a 60.
And with a 5-point, you made it by half.
Okay.
All right.
What could possibly go wrong?
All right, so this takes some time, right? This isn't just a few minutes here, but you've been spending like probably... anywhere from an hour to 2 hours just trying all these different methods. And you sure as hell didn't mention the daughter's name because you know that would set her off in a negative way probably. But you've been trying a lot of different things, blocks, and you've stepped away and tried to make eye contact with her. And you start, just moving blocks around and spelling things, and you put them in front of her. And at one point, she starts spelling things for you, okay?
Nice.
And eventually... with your half roll and because of the idea you had, you're able to get her to spell out a word.
Red rum. Sorry.
That's what we're getting.
No, it doesn't make sense to you, but she spells out five letters. C-A-C-O-D.
Hang on. Write that down. Okay.
C-A-C-O-D.
A.
Cacod? C-A-C-O-D. Cacod? Okay, that's weird.
Yes.
I quiz her. I ask her, what does it mean? It's C-A-C-O-D. And I try putting the letters backwards in order. What does it mean? What's her name?
I can't remember her name.
Stephanie, Sandra. Whatever. What does it mean, Sandra? What does it mean? And I'm going to fast talk her again.
Remember, you are dealing with a catatonic person.
Never mind. 62. Failure.
Yeah. Social wouldn't apply here. This is like over a couple hours where you're literally moving blocks around and trying to get things. And just at one point, as you you know, just kind of in that moment where you've got some connection with her briefly, she puts some blocks together and does CACOD, and you're like, oh, this is something, and you remember it, and maybe, you know, and that, you know, but you know there's something going on here. This is definitely a clue.
Would be initials or something.
I pick up the blocks and show them through the window to Marco, and like, lock.
You can roll if you get a not one. I'll give you the answer. Go for it.
Sure, why not? It's a 1% chance it could happen. No.
Well, you know, also part of the fun of a clue trail like this is putting it together rather than me just giving you the answer. So I think as you guys piece together, it's going to be more satisfying when you get the answer rather than I just say, okay, roll. Oh, you rolled really well. Okay, here's the answer. It's like a... But this is, I think we're doing about 2 hours and 15 minutes, and we're at about 2 hours and 22 minutes. So I think this is a good place to stop on a little clue cliffhanger. And
all right.
We'll pick it up again in 2 weeks, and everything you have here stays. So don't worry about your pictures disappearing and everything. And, you know, some groups even like to put their notes on a word and then copy them and put it here for review, but that's up to you guys. But in between the 2 weeks, you can come back here, and the stuff will be as is.
All right.
Just curious, who put the picture of the cell phone in there?
Yeah. I did because there's another group playing in this, and they spent a lot of time on talking about the cell phones and what they looked like back then. So I found a Samsung, and this phone is like close to $2,000 back in the day. So I found a picture of it and just pulled it up to show them, yeah, this is your phone. And it's probably charging in your car because, you know, it's kind of big by cell phone standards. And
battery life at 30 minutes, you know.
Yeah, battery life sucks by comparison today. And exactly, you always have to have it on the charger. It's limited. So I was just kind of showing it to them to give them an idea. And they were talking about all that, but I said, yeah, back then most people couldn't afford a cell phone because it was just
too expensive. You're saying they are younger than we are?
No, they were they were about the same age. They were just kind of talking about it, and they were saying, were there even cell phones back in 1995? And I said, yeah, here I googled it, and it just most people didn't get them because the plans were too expensive. Like,
yeah, I had a
it was like
girlfriend who had
it was
one
like $2,000
about 95, and I remember when I looked it up,
so very few people had access.
God, they were expensive.
Yeah. You know, however, you're in the Montauk community, which is really wealthy, so some people would have that, right? And
they have a cell tower.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, and agents who want to can have it as well. So
okay.
Cool. I enjoyed it.
No.
Yeah.
Good time.
So far.
Yeah. So all right. So yeah, in 2 weeks we'll pick it up, see what happens.
Very good.
All right. Thanks,
guys. See you guys on Sunday, then.
Talk to you guys later.
Listen to you, Jim.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.